listening to Pushing the Odds on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the CG Sportsbook inside the Palms Casino Resort in Las Vegas. Powered by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Here's your host, Matt Perrault.
Have you seen anything like that in your NFL
never
career?
Never seen it ever. Pop Warner, high school, college, pros. Never heard of it, never seen it. And it's just completely disrespectful his teammates.
Did he say anything to you as a veteran?
Did he say anybody to anything?
He said nothing to nobody.
He left?
When did you know as much as I know. I found out going in the second half of the game. Coming out, he said he's not coming out, he retired.
It's Bills defender Lorenzo Alexander talking about Vontae Davis. Peace, I'm done. The statement issued by his agents, it was claiming to be Vontae Davis, but his agents saying, I shouldn't be out there anymore. That's why I retired. Okay. What a weird, weird story. There's a bunch of weird stories to get into, including the Rams are 2-0 for the first time since 2001, and Malcolm Butler of the Titans has surrendered the most yards and the most touchdowns of any cornerback in the NFL through week two. Do you think that Bill Belichick might just know a couple of things about defensive football players? I don't know. Adam Stites, SB Nation, covering the NFL, joining us on the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Hotline. Adam, Matt Perrault, how are you?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I am wonderful. Let's start with Vontae Davis news. You ever seen anything like that? And do you believe him that he actually is retired?
No, definitely have not seen anything like that. And I do believe him. I think he almost kind of backed himself into a corner where he's not going to have a choice at this point. If he chooses to come back, the Bills still have his rights, but I can't imagine that they'll want him back. They're probably going to look for some sort of breach of contract to void the guarantees in his contract. I'm sure there's stipulations that you can't leave in the middle of a game. I think he probably has to just kind of stick to his guns at this point. He's been right. I mean, he's right that he looks bad out there. I mean, they were picking on him all last week and this week, too, so... he doesn't look like a player worth $5 million. And I do believe him that he's hanging up. I don't believe him that he says, it doesn't have to do with the Bills. I think he just got, the Bills are bad. I think that certainly factored in. He just didn't want to play for a team that was this bad.
Well, let's speak about the Bills here a little bit. And this week, they've got the Vikings on the road. They are currently 16.5-point favorites. That's the second biggest line since 1984 for the Vikings here in Las Vegas. Only a 17-point line a bunch of years ago was a bigger line for the Vikings, not really known for their offensive explosiveness. So 17 points, 16.5 points, quite a bit. How bad are the Bills? I mean, are they by themselves with how bad they are, or are they and the Cardinals equally as bad here going into week three?
I'd say the Bills are in their own tier of bad football. They're just not good at anything. There just really aren't a whole lot of positives. I think you could say that Josh Allen didn't look lost out there. It wasn't a good game. One touchdown, two interceptions isn't a positive game, but he doesn't look in over his head, which is what I frankly expected after, jumping from Wyoming straight into an NFL regular season game, especially against the defense like the Chargers. They've got a lot of things that they can throw at him, good defensive back, a lot of good pass rushers. So he didn't look over his head, but I think there just isn't a solution for the Bills. It's not going to get better. There's really not a whole lot of reason to expect this team to win more than a game or two this year.
Adam, Football Perspective put out this tweet today, and I want to get your take on it. So yesterday, the NFL had an average passer rating of 105.1. For a career, Aaron Rodgers, for people to be able to deal with how good this is, Aaron Rodgers' career passer rating is 103.9. So yesterday, the average of an NFL starting quarterback was 105.1. There were 28 quarterbacks playing. 16 had a passer rating over 100. 21 quarterbacks of the 28 playing had a passer rating of over 95. Have we seen the NFL go too far to get the offenses clicking and scoring points? And could we see in the future a correction with some of these rules that favor the offense so heavily?
The rules keep continuing to make it difficult to stop the pass. That now there's so many roughing the passer penalties, so much legislation on the defensive backs. It's difficult. But I think one of the reasons why this is happening is because I think injuries have kind of been tilted towards defense so far this year. There's been a lot of defensive players who aren't quite ready to go, and we haven't really seen an elite quarterback go down. We haven't seen very many offensive line injuries that are devastating teams. So I think offenses will slow down as the year goes on just because injuries start to take their toll on offensive players. But so far, like, there's just a lot of defensive players that are missing games. So I think I don't think we're going to see this on a weekly basis. But, yeah, offenses are definitely getting the upper hand. And I don't know that the NFL will change it. I think they're probably happy with the product they have right now. There's a lot of exciting football. Patrick Mahomes is throwing touchdowns like crazy. There's a lot of fun stuff to watch. So I don't know that they feel like it's an issue in their eyes.
I would agree. One of those quarterbacks, you mentioned the six for Mahomes, but Ryan Fitzpatrick became the first player in NFL history to throw for over 400 yards and four touchdowns in consecutive games that both wound up being victories. Afterwards, his post-game outfit's getting a lot of attention. What do you make of where the Buccaneers are with Ryan Fitzpatrick and Fitzmagic? Is this his team, or is it going to be Winston after his suspension's over following this week?
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of floored, honestly. But last week when he throws 400-something yards and four touchdowns against the Saints, my first reaction is, wow, the Saints defense, what happened? It was such a good unit last year. But now he goes and does it against the Eagles, and that's a defense we just saw last week. They were able to, pretty much pull out a win against the Falcons when Foles looked bad all game. So, at this point, you almost have to kind of think that it's for real. The Buccaneers have been trying to surround Jameis Winston with weapons for a long time. Mike Evans is one of the top receivers in the league. DeSean Jackson's an elite deep threat, and Fitzpatrick is taking advantage. He's hitting the big plays that Jameis really didn't hit all that often. Jameis was never really a guy who was striking big plays, big chunks of yardage. It might be his team. I don't see how you turn the keys back over to Jameis if Fitzpatrick keeps playing like this. You kind of have to just ride the hot hand, and then if things start to go south, then you can go back to Jameis. But at this point, it has to be his team, I think, after Jameis Winston.
And they've got a Monday night game coming up at home against the Steelers, and Pittsburgh's favored in this game, -2.5, which I don't really understand. But Tampa at 2-0 in prime time, we saw what Mahomes just did to the Steelers. Well, what if we see another 4 or 5 touchdown toss from Fitzmagic? I mean, there's no way they can go back to Jameis Winston and for the rest of the year, I think. I mean, is this a chance in prime time for Fitzpatrick to win the job for the rest of the year?
I wouldn't want to rule out Fitzpatrick suddenly struggling and then the Buccaneers wanting to turn back to Jameis Winston. So I don't know that he'll lock it in where he no longer has any kind of leash. I think the leash is still going to be there. But, considering what we just saw from the Steelers in week two and just all of their struggles that they're having right now, Ben Roethlisberger doesn't look like himself. Antonio Brown is obviously frustrated. There's a good chance for him to go out and throw another four touchdowns and really make sure that the Buccaneers don't even consider putting Jameis Winston back in the lineup in week four.
All right, Adam, what happened yesterday with kickers? Because, I mean, the story just came out a couple of minutes ago that Zane Gonzalez, who was getting cut today by Cleveland for missing a field goal and extra point late in the game on the road at the Saints, that he's been dealing with a groin injury that's going to require an MRI today, so he's been hurt. But there was starting with Steven Gostkowski with the Patriots, who is an incredibly good kicker normally. I mean, it seems like with all the offense going on right now that we may be in for a rough year with kickers. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think it just happens kind of. I don't know that there's any correlation. I think sometimes just it's difficult for kickers to make kicks, and obviously it swung a lot of games this week. Not just the Browns, but the Vikings had two kicks to win in overtime, and they missed both of them. And Mason Crosby had one to win for the Packers at the end of regulation, and he missed that. So, yeah, it was a surprising week. I don't think there's a whole lot to read into it. I think just sometimes kickers miss kicks, and it's getting more difficult. You know, extra points are difficult, and just kicking is a difficult thing, and it kind of swings from week to week, it seems like.
One of the craziest last 2 minutes of a game I can remember, with the Browns going for a 4th-and-5, basically a Hail Mary, and he winds up completing the catch. And then we see the defense can't hold it as it goes down to a game-winning kick for the Saints. What is the future with Cleveland in their quarterback position now that they're 0-1-1 with Tyrod Taylor? Do they keep going to Tyrod, or could Baker Mayfield get a start here coming up down the road?
I think it's almost has to be time for Baker Mayfield really soon. If you're Hugh Jackson, I don't think you can patiently grind out your vision. I think there has to be a tremendous amount of urgency at this point. He has one win in his last 34 games. So he needs wins now, right now. He can't afford to keep losing close games and hope that things start falling his way. Everything else about this defense, I mean, this team looks good. They're forcing turnovers. The defense has been giving everybody fits. They're just not scoring points. So, I think we see it sooner rather than later. I wouldn't be surprised if we see Baker Mayfield in week 3.
Adam, get you out of here on this. The Dolphins, the Bengals, the Jaguars, the Chiefs, the Buccaneers, and the Rams. Those are the only 2-0 teams in the NFL. Who is the best 2-0 team right now in your mind in the NFL?
I think I'd go the Jacksonville Jaguars. We all know what that defense can do. It brings pressure all the time. They've got elite defensive backs. And then on offense, they have Leonard Fournette. And this week they didn't have Leonard Fournette. And Blake Bortles looks like an absolute star. 4 touchdowns, was great with his arms, great with his legs. If they get that Blake Bortles on even close to a weekly basis, if he even plays close to that level, I mean, good luck beating that team. That's a stacked team from top to bottom.
Very good. Adam, great stuff. Appreciate the time today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Adam Stites, NFL coverage, SBNation.com, joining us on the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Hotline. I'll disagree and take the Rams, but in the AFC, Jacksonville did play very well. I do find it kind of comical that the Jacksonville Jaguars media were reporting the game last night as a passing of the torch from the Patriots to the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's week 2, and the Chiefs did that to the Patriots last year in week 1, and they did it in Foxborough. Where's the torch still? Let's pump the brakes a little bit here. 31-20, nice win for the Jags, but the Patriots laying eggs in September is nothing new. Long season. More to come. It's Pushing the Odds. SB Nation Radio.